Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Worst thing in the world is being gassy when you're fasting. There's no relief.
I think poverty and human suffering is worse than you being gassy when you're fasting. But
do you like my glasses?
I don't know how I felt. When's the last time you wore glasses? Because you got the LASIK, what, like 10, 11 years ago?
I got the LASIK 11 years ago. 12 years ago. Nope. Yep, 12 years ago.
Was it before you got married or after?
It was after I got married. Oh. I've been married for a very long time.
Yuck.
I got the LASIK, but you know, after babies, your LASIK, your lasers can get fucked up. So really? I got like a slight prescription now. So I have like the slightest prescription. So sometimes like if I've been on screens for a while, everything starts to get a little blurry again. So then I put my glasses on and then when I'm using my computadora and stuff.
Interesting. I guess I'm just a glasses person now.
You're a glasses gal. I don't think you should ever wear contacts. Put those glasses back on. First of all, if you're gonna not wear glasses, we need to do significant work to your under eye bags.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, we're really tempting people to make sure they watch us on YouTube now by doing all this audio, this visual content in an audio medium.
Yeah, the issue is there's a lot of face here. There's a lot of face.
And the glasses help.
The glasses, I think, do help.
It balances it out.
Yeah. I only wear contacts when I'm playing sports at this point, and that's it.
Yeah. And then, you know, your gams are compensating for your face at that point.
My gams.
Yeah, you got nice legs. You got nice legs when you're, especially when you're doing athlete stuff. You got good games. You got games.
I do. I do have good games. If anybody wants to subscribe to my games only, OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, except it's just your calf muscles.
Dude,
I feel like you would make a killing, by the way.
On the calf muscles? I'm telling you.
Just your calf muscles alone?
Just my... people have admired my calf muscles for over 20 years. I'll say that.
Yeah.
People are always surprised. They're like, oh, hey, What's going on with your calves?
I'm also very jealous of it because I have tree trunks for legs and cankles. So I appreciate your calf muscles.
Thank you. Wish it was kind of if it worked that way throughout the rest of the body, but it doesn't. It's just the calves. Like I have like big like birthing hips. It's weird. My body, I think if you could remember when Johnny Sack, remember how he described his wife?
What did he call her? So,
what's the word for it? From like the Renaissance? What do you call curvy women? Hold on. Rubenesque. I have a Rubenesque body.
And you know gorgeous. What? God bless your body. Look at us.
I love this body.
Okay. Look at us talking about your body so that we don't have to address what the world is calling our collective shame about the news that came out about Kate Middleton. Now, I have to ask you, Kate Middleton, like literally 48 hours after we were yucking it up, which by the way, I just want to say, we were yucking about the firm and the royal family, not about Kate. Want to go ahead and say it again. Me? Worried sick. I thought these motherfuckers had killed her, okay? So I'm glad that she is alive, but she did share 48 hours after our last episode that she has been diagnosed with cancer. She had abdominal surgery. They thought everything was fine, but they did some testing. I'm assuming what happened is that they found something. They did a biopsy. The biopsy came back that there is cancer in her body, so now she's getting chemo. And she keeps we'll get into the cancer details later because she calls it preventative chemo, which people are like, that means that it's fake. What's preventative chemo? I was like, all chemo is preventative. If you find a tumor in your body and then you resect the tumor, you can go without any other treatment, or you could get chemo to make sure that your body doesn't get any of the cancer back, depending on the grading, blah, blah, all that stuff. So anyway, she said she has cancer. She's getting chemo. Then the UK press, I'm assuming the firm, started putting out all these articles that we should all be ashamed of ourselves. So I want to ask you, are you ashamed of yourself?
You know, I don't know if I'm personally ashamed of myself based off of, you know, our conversations and stuff like that. Because again, yes, it is unfortunate that we were having a conversation and we were yucking it up. We're talking about things like BBLs and things like that, right? But again, our conversation was more directed towards the firm and their actions and those things, right? The fact that it's cancer, you know, there's to us, and I think to most of the world, there's no joking around about cancer, right? So when you hear that, of course, you feel bad, and you should feel bad. I think that initial thing of, hey, I was laughing about a thing and it turns out it's cancer, I feel really bad right now, that is a natural reaction to have.
Yeah.
Do I think that the rest of us should live in shame because of it? No, because there is, like, all of this stuff started because of the actions of the firm, right?
Yeah.
It started with, like, the Photoshop. It started with, by the way, it's interesting. Nobody's talking about Kate visiting that farmer's market.
When they were grocery shopping. So now we're like, so here's the thing. That's exactly my point, too, is, like, we were talking about the fact that actually, all of the cancer stuff makes it even more shameful of the firm and the palace to be blaming this woman who's fighting. She's fighting cancer and you're making her go on Twitter and be like, guys, I love Photoshop. So that's what happened. Like, that's what you're doing. I think they should be ashamed of themselves. And also, you can't tell two brown people, two South Asians, that they can't talk shit about the royal family.
And again,
they still wear our jewels, our family's jewels.
Yeah, they picked it up from Patna, Bihar. And even, let's say, if you want to talk shit about the royal family, I think on an individual basis, like if you're talking about Kate the person, of course, I don't think either one of us would want to talk shit about Kate the person.
No, we've never talked about
Kate. We've never talked shit about Kate. I think William is open season, man. William is open season.
By the way, why wasn't William sitting next to his wife on that bench?
I don't. Okay. I don't want to dig deeper, but yes.
Oh, the maybe. Woman was in the hospital getting abdominal surgery, which led to a cancer diagnosis, and this man only visited her once. Camilla, the true love of Charles, was there every single day. She was in and out.
Yeah. We should all be more like Camilla, is I think
we
what
should
you're saying.
All be like Camilla. Camilla's like, I'm distraught. My king husband, my lord king husband. Isn't that what they say in like Game of Thrones and stuff? My lord husband or my king husband?
Just my lord. I think my lord is more than enough. I think it conveys the emotion.
He is also fighting cancer. And I need to take off of my duties, whatever they are, for Camilla.
Yeah, she gets out of those cobwebs. And you know, now that you say it.
Yeah.
Camilla, you know, Camilla loves Charles so much that the fact that he was the prince, the future king of England, married to the future queen, didn't stop her from having an affair with this man.
No.
It's true love, man.
It is. Say what you will about those most likely racist sons of bitches, but that's love.
That's true love.
Yeah. Anyway, we hope that Kate feels great and that she heals and all of that stuff, because cancer, we could tell you, is the worst. And so the UK press, they have, like, you know, Good Morning America. They have something called Good Morning Britain. Mm-hmm. They did a report like 2 days later that there is a investigation now opening up with the parliament on these trolls, international trolls that were trolling, that were involved in spreading the vicious and disgusting lies about the Princess of Wales. And they're blaming China and Korea and Iran on all of the rumors about Kate and what she had been up to and about William. I was like, that's convenient.
Yeah. Why are we going to China? Was it China, Korea, and Iran? That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of snarky people here. We got a lot of people with a lot of opinions that are brown also.
TMZ's like, hello, we're right here. We work around the clock.
Yeah.
This is literally our business.
So. Yeah, you just sold us a video for $200,000 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, lot going on in the news. Lots going on.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on. Can we talk about something real quick, though, before we get to the other breaking news that happened yesterday?
Sure.
Candace Owen, you're familiar with her?
I'm familiar with her and her work, yes.
So she was fired from The Daily Wire, which is, I believe, a Ben Shapiro outpost, right?
Yeah.
And allegedly she was fired because of her stance against Israel. And, you know, Ben Shapiro is a Jewish man and he's very conservative and he's very pro-Israel.
Yeah.
And so she was fired. And I want to talk about this just because, like, we've talked about before how, like, the waters get so muddied when, like, you know, somebody like Sean King becomes Muslim. Or, like, when an overall shitty person somehow does something to support, like, a cause, suddenly people are, like, ready to wash away their previous sins. So now Candace Owen, who was previously, you know, like, she's, like, the poster of anti-woke media.
Yeah, she's a moron.
Yeah. She's now saying that it doesn't make any sense. Because people are tweeting stuff about her being like, this is what happens when you're, thanks a lot, woke people. And I was like, woke people are the ones that are pro-Palestinian.
Yeah.
And she got fired for having non-conservative views. So it doesn't make sense. And there's, like, you know, their brains, there's a, what's the thing when robots stop working? What's like happening to me right now?
I don't know. You fizzle out.
No.
Short circuit?
That's the one.
You're a working professional, right?
I'm working right now. Yeah, so I feel like, you know, their conservative brains are short circuiting. And now I'm like, I like go on my Instagram and I see people sharing stuff being like the same people who are like so excited that like Sean King is Muslim are like, Candace Owen is being deplatformed because of her pro-Palestinian views, and this is what happens when you're pro-Palestinian, and they're going to come. And I'm like, when you start to go that route, you start to, like, she's been vicious to Black people, to her own community, to the Black community, to the queer community. Mm-hmm. Like, she's been terrible to them. And I understand that, like, obviously, good for you for not supporting a genocide, but you're still an overall monster. So, like, I don't know. I'm also at the point where now I'm like, if shitty people also are like, yeah, we should stop killing thousands of Palestinians a day, I'm not going to give them a pat on the back for that. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, thanks. Join the party. So, yeah. What are your thoughts?
So, specifically with this Candace Owen thing, right? I think there's also an element of anti-Semitism in terms of the people that are supporting her.
Yes.
Because there is this, like, I think some of the things that she had tweeted, some of the Bible verses that she had tweeted, some of the conversation that she was having, it was more about, like, you know, us or America doing something for the cause of Jewish people when mm-hmm. we have good Christians at home that mm-hmm. are not being looked after, that are not being serviced. And sure, she can just say that, you know, there is an anti-Semitism that's baked into it. But we know what that conversation is like.
Yeah. Right?
That is a centuries old, you know, anti-Semitic trope about Jesus and Jews and all those things, right? So when you look at the people that are supporting her in this, and if you read what their thoughts are, a lot of them are just anti-Semitic. You know, people are just looking to be anti-Semitic for whatever reason, right?
The number of times I've had to clock people who are like, I can't believe so-and-so is supporting the Jews. I'm like, no, we should all support the Jews, actually. Yeah. Please, actually, don't say that again. We mm-hmm. should all be supporting Jews. That's not the problem here. That's a crazy thing to say. But yeah, it does. And I would be lying if I said that there was no anti-Semitism baked into some of this stuff. But obviously there's, like, you know, also thousands of Palestinians dying every single day. Exactly.
And the thing is, like, just because we believe, because we do believe, and I do 100% believe that the plight of the Palestinians and the fight for their freedom and the fight to get, that is the righteous thing to do. That is the right thing to do. I think my religion teaches me that. My progressive values teach me that. All those things teach me that, right? Just because a person who has shown a history of being a hateful person, of being a bigoted person, arrives at the same conclusion as I do about one particular thing based off of however they arrive to it, right? I think that part of it is anti-Semitic or whatever, doesn't mean that now that person is my friend. No, because I have a whole history to go off of. I know, I know what that person, what the other things that person stands for. So no, I'm not going to jump on board. I'm not going to defend Candace Owens.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's kind of like when, what's her name? Tommy Lahren. When Tommy Lahren was mm-hmm. kind of like ousted from like the far right community because she said that she's pro-choice and she believed that, like, you know, like, I think she even believed that, like, if parents want to get, you know, hormone therapy for their children, they should be allowed to do that. And all the conservatives, like, they lost their mind. And so people have suddenly started mm-hmm. being like, oh, Tommy Lahren, good person. And I was like, no, she just arrived to the conclusion on one or two topics in a good thing. Like, she decided that humanity applies for some groups of people, mm-hmm. but she's still not all the way there. Like, that's the problem with somebody like Candace Owen or like fucking Andrew Tate and all these people. Like, they don't actually view all of us as human beings. They view some of us as human beings.
Yeah. And, you know, there are more than enough celebrities. There's more than enough people out there that you can throw your support behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't just because a famous person who is a horrible person says one thing that you agree with doesn't mean that now you attach yourself. But what's the point of that? That's just stupid. Yeah.
What are we doing? Speaking of famous people who are horrible, Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs, his homes in L.A. and Miami were raided by the feds.
It's wild. We're talking
choppers and tanks. Amazing stuff.
SWAT
team. He got raided. His sons were arrested. Apparently, nobody was actually detained. They were all just, like, arrested and questioned. But his homes were raided by the feds on sex trafficking charges that have been under investigation for some time. Then his private jet was seen going out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the run. But then he ended up being spotted, I think, in Miami. But he's not been arrested yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not great for him. Also, while all this was happening, wait, let me just find the exact article. While all this was happening, something else also happened, which we don't want to forget about just because we're talking about Puff Daddy. What do you call him, by the way? What was he going by now? Sean Combs?
Anyway. I call him Diddy, I think. Diddy.
Yeah, I think right now he's going by Diddy. We're calling him the Diddler.
Have you heard, I think I told you this, the kids online are trying to change that, you know, the no, I'm not going to say it.
H-O-M-O.
H-O-M-O. Yeah. And also pause. Uh-huh. They're trying to replace that with no Diddy. So you say, when you say something that's questionable, you say no Diddy.
I don't know about pause.
Oh, you don't know what pause is? Pause is like the oldest one.
I don't know.
It's like when you say something that could be taken as, you know.
Is it like saying timeout?
Well, it's kind of like, well, pause, like, hey, that's not what I meant. So let's say if I'm talking about, like, I don't know, playing basketball. I'll give you an example. Charles Barkley was talking about playing basketball, and he says something like, you know, when a guy is banging you from behind, because he's talking about a position, right? So you say, when a guy's banging you from behind, so people say pause, like, hey, just take a second, because just so you know, this is what you sound. You don't know what pause is? It's been around since we were kids.
I don't think so. I think that my generation just said no HMO.
Yeah, I think the Boondocks made pause very famous.
Oh, I didn't watch that cartoon.
Yeah.
I was elbow deep in Housewives and the Hills by then. So, okay, we don't want to lose sight of this motherfucker also. But while all this was happening with Diddy, Russell Simmons was surprised by a process server in Bali because he was also served with a lawsuit regarding something or another.
I mean, Russell Simmons, that thing has been out since the Me Too, right? Like, yeah. Russell Simmons was one of, like, the OG Me Too
guys.
He's
literally offshore. He's not in the country, guys.
Yeah.
It's not good. And then Page Six is doing some dirty work with Diddy. And I'm like, we barely work hard, but the firm works very hard. Page Six released an article today. Prince Harry named in $30 million sex trafficking lawsuit against Diddy Combs, which is like, if you actually read Page Six is so fucking dirty. He's not a defendant and he's not been accused of any crime. The reason he's been named is because it says, like, P. Diddy lured people into his parties by saying that famous people like the royal family or Prince Harry would be at his parties. That's how it's. Anyway,
and they would be at his parties, like, that is the crowd. Yeah.
Hello. Okay, so when this news broke out, what were your thoughts?
I was shocked. I was shocked only because I don't doubt that any of this stuff happens from what we hear, from, you know, what we heard from Cassie's lawsuit and stuff like that, right? I believed all of that. That is stuff that Diddy has been openly advertising in terms of his lifestyle for the last 30 years. Like, that's been part of the persona, right? What I was shocked by was the fact that people are actually taking an action on it. And then I'm thinking, what did Diddy do that is different than what other people, who I just suspect, like, I suspect that this is a part of a lifestyle for a lot of different famous people and a lot of rich people. Actually, more so than even just famous people, rich people do all sorts of terrible shit, right?
Awful, awful things.
Just terrible things. And I'm just wondering what it is that brought Diddy into focus on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the lawsuit that Cassie had probably started to, like, open up more stuff there. I think it does also come down to, like, similarly with, like, Harvey Weinstein, right? It's like, you need one person to speak up and then suddenly everything starts opening up, because there's such powerful men. I feel like that's what like the people are afraid to go up against them. I think that that's maybe that what it, that's what it was.
Sorry, the other thing about Diddy that has been happening, I think since the Cassie lawsuit and maybe even a little bit before then also, I know Cat Williams talked about this also in his Club Shay Shay interview.
Yeah.
He specifically called out Diddy, right? It feels like the, I don't know if it's, I'd call it the hip hop community or the culture or whatever, they have started to talk about Diddy pretty openly.
Yeah.
Like, Diddy being a terrible person, Diddy being, it's again, it's one of those things where you want to be careful because part of it is also homophobia.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like Diddy may be bisexual. Yeah. That's the news that's out there, right? So people want to kind of latch on that and make fun of that or whatever. But it feels like people were distancing themselves from Diddy for a while. With the understanding that he was still a very rich and powerful person within the industry, and I feel like that is now going away. It's slowly going to be going away.
You know, I think that there's also, because unfortunately, because this happened now, unfortunately, for some reason on my like Twitter timeline, it is all conspiracy theories. It's like QAnon level conspiracy theories, because there's nothing QAnon loves more to like talk about than Hollywood is, you know, the Pizzagate, Hollywood, sex trafficking, pedophilia, drinking babies, Tom Hanks kills children, like all that shit. They love to talk about it, right? So suddenly all that stuff started leaking in. And then, of course, such sad news that we saw that happened in Baltimore this morning. At like 1 o'clock in the morning, a cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is like 695 in Baltimore. Drive over that sometimes.
All the time.
Yeah. And it toppled, and there's like 50 cars that ended up being in the water. There's an entire crew that was on the bridge that fell. There's tons. It's a mass casualty. It's a huge, really terrible thing that happened. And suddenly, Raheel, nobody deserves this much technology. You want to know what these like Luna fucking ticks on the internet are saying right now?
What's that?
They're saying that Diddy, that this was real.
Wait, what?
No, listen, the cargo ships, there's people saying crazy stuff like the cargo ship held women and children that were being sex trafficked. And after that happened to Diddy and they knew that they were going to get caught, so they it was like a suicide attempt. There's people who are saying that Diddy and the people involved in his masterful, sinister world of sex trafficking made that happen in order to distract us from what's actually going on in the rest of Hollywood. There's people who are, there was one person that said, they're also, because you know the mayor of Baltimore seems like a lovely guy, by the way. They're saying, you know, yeah.
The governor of Maryland, that guy should be a presidential candidate in the next couple of years.
Hogan?
No, not Hogan. He's not the mayor. He's not the governor anymore.
Okay.
I forgot his name. Anyways, are these people online that, thank God, I am not following them or whatever, are they also referencing season 2 of The Wire at all?
No, they're not.
Because season 2 of The Wire, again, takes place in Baltimore.
Yes.
It starts off with a container full of sex workers being discovered. Oh, and they're all dead.
Okay. Well, see, this is like people we need to get, here's the thing. It's really expensive to live. People are working multiple jobs. We're not getting enough sleep. We're eating processed foods. Mm-hmm. And people's storylines from TV shows are bleeding into their brains and they think that it's real. And it's crazy. Somebody was saying, they were saying about the mayor. They were saying like, this is what happens. Because people cut corners and hire the wrong people because of DEI. That is why the bridge collapsed, because if we hired more qualified people, then stuff like this wouldn't happen. I was like, are you guys insane?
Didn't the bridge collapse because the ship lost power? Like, it's a Singaporean ship that lost power.
It wouldn't have lost power if we didn't hire so many black and brown people and women.
Well, I don't even think, I think it's probably the Singaporeans on the boat were distracted because they had to watch a video about using pronouns. I think that's probably reason why.
That's probably it. Yeah. I guess I need everybody's phones to be thrown into the river.
Not mine, though. I'm good. I'm good.
How are you going to start your Cavs OnlyFans?
That's true.
Without a telephone. I've had it. The conspiracies are nuts. And this is coming from a person who just last week was like, there's a fake Kate Middleton video on the internet and I got to talk about it.
I looked at it frame by frame.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've had enough.
Anyways, back to this Diddy thing.
Yeah.
Do you, I think Diddy now, we're assuming Diddy done. Diddy done.
Diddy's
right?
done for. Diddy done.
Diddy done.
Diddy done. Diddy done.
Do you think there's going to be other other people like Diddy that are going to get trapped into this type of thing? Yeah.
Not trapped.
That's good.
You mean found?
I mean, caught. Caught. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's high time, but I also think that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, whew, that was a close one. Let me just keep on keeping on.
You know, that's what I really worry about. So, like, we know about terrible people throughout history, right? Because they get caught. A lot of people just get caught.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're like, oh, look at that person. That was a terrible, terrible human being. What we don't think about are, like, the number of terrible people that just live an entire life just being terrible, using their money, just getting away with it. It's very depressing.
It's so depressing. So why are we talking about this? This is so sad.
It's very sad.
It's extremely sad. I don't like it. Me, hot take. I don't like bad people. can we add some levity here? I wanted to share something with you.
Sure.
As per a Page Six article, what do you think?
Hold on. You just said how terrible Page Six is. And we're going back to Page Six. Also, I know I read Page Six also, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, you're a terrible person. There you go. As per Page Six, what do you think is America's hottest restaurant?
Hottest restaurant? Like the most popular one currently?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like, I want to say Nashville chicken or hot chicken. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with Hangry Joe's.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's so crazy. We're such siblings. Like, I feel like there's something happening here because right before we started recording, I was looking at the Hangry Joe's menu.
Oh, my God.
But that's not the answer.
Okay.
The answer is drum roll. There's no drum roll because we don't have that kind of production value. What kind of sad ass drum roll is that? It's the Cheesecake Factory.
Ooh.
Yeah. Forget Carbone. The status table of the moment is at the Cheesecake Factory.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that line? Fire that person. That's not true.
Ollie Coleman. In the last month, bold-faced types as varied as Bel Air socialite Kathy Hilton and Midtown media titan Hoda Kotb have told Page Six that the chain is a top spot for romantic nights on the town. Do you believe that?
I guess so. I like a Cheesecake Factory. I've never regretted going to a Cheesecake Factory. The chicken Madeira all day.
Yeah. Every day. Well, also now, Kanye West, far at the other end of the celebrity spectrum, has been snapped there on a date with wife Bianca Censori. Why? We don't know. We're certainly not going to go there to find out. Why would you not go there to find out? What's wrong with the Cheesecake Factory? Anyway, I love the Cheesecake Factory. I think that it's so good. Sometimes very expensive. Surprises you. Sometimes you're like ordering little things, and then you get the bill, and you're like, $80? What did I eat for $80 at the Cheesecake Factory?
I've always gone with a group, so I'm expecting the bill to be high.
Yeah.
But I've never, you know, the portions are so big that you're like, yeah, of course. I'm fine with it.
The brown bread. So good.
The bread.
Amazing. The little, they have the mac and cheese balls. Delicious. Mm-hmm. One of the first dates, like official real grown-up dates I ever went on was to the Cheesecake Factory, and I ate those mac and cheese balls.
Aww.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Factory or Macaroni Grill for you?
Well, I have not been to Macaroni Grills in a really long time. First of all, I think it's called Romano's.
Oh, Romano's. I'm sorry. Apologies.
Well, I think that the nice thing about the thing with the Macaroni Grill is the Macaroni Grill does family size portions. So they've got a Carmine situation going on. They want to do, you know, the big platters of food. And so I like that because I'm a family style girl.
The only thing that Macaroni Grill has over at the Cheesecake Factory for me is that they give you crayons at the beginning, and that's it.
You can get crayons at the Cheesecake Factory.
You have to ask for them. Macaroni Grill just has them there.
You're right. Anyway, those are all the topics that I had to talk about. You got anything?
I have a bunch of sports thingies.
Oh, great.
Let me see. Do you want something that you would be interested in or something that you're going to pick up your cell phone for? Because I'm going to talk about them both.
Okay, let's do interest.
Let's do what you would be interested in?
No, let's do pick up my cell phone. Okay. I got to check my emails.
So have you heard, somehow, this guy has become the official athlete of this podcast.
Is it Shohei Ohtani?
Shohei. Do you know what's going on with Shohei?
Well, I saw that his wife was revealed. There was a face reveal of his wife.
Wife is old news. Nobody cares about the wife anymore.
Oh, no, poor wife.
Yeah, wife. The wife.
Nobody cares about the old wife anymore.
Nobody cares about that broad anymore. No, Shohei could potentially be in a lot of trouble. So, last October there was another federal raid of they busted an illegal sports betting ring in Southern California, right?
Okay.
So, a sports book or whatever. As they've been going through their investigations, they found two wire transfers from Shohei Ohtani's bank account.
Oh, no.
For $500,000 each.
Oh, no.
So that's $1 million. I just did the math for you. So that investigation is still going on, but somehow ESPN found out that there were these two wire transfers from Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
So the reporters that are working on it reached out to Shohei's people, and they said, hey, what's the deal with this? And then Shohei's people made his interpreter available to them, right? Uh-huh. So Shohei never talks. You know, whenever he doesn't talk in English. He always has an interpreter. His interpreter is this guy named, I got to look it up, Ippei Mitsuhara, right? Uh-huh. So Ippei had an interview with ESPN, and he said, here's the deal. Shohei was covering for me. Because I'm the one that was gambling, right? Okay. And I came to him and I told him that I have an issue. I got in deep with these gambling folks and I needed a bailout.
Oh,
so
no.
Shohei went on his computer and he sent the wire from his own computer to this book, right? Mm-hmm. And then ESPN asked him, "What are those the only two wires that you had?" And he's like, no, all of it probably adds up to about $4.5 million.
Oh my God.
So that's what the interpreter said, right, to ESPN. Now, ESPN was going to publish that story, but right before they were able to, Shohei's representatives called them and said that we completely disavow everything that the interpreter said. That the interpreter is lying. Now, this interpreter, is Shohei's pretty much his best friend. He has been with Shohei ever since he came to the U.S. So for the last 6 years, every time you see Shohei, you see the interpreter. He's at the games because he's interpreting between him and the manager and him and the teammates and stuff. Uh-huh. And he's with Shohei all the time. And then they said that actually what happened is Shohei had no idea about anything. And that this stuff, this money was just stolen from him.
From the four guy. And a half.
From Shohei's account. So basically that this interpreter has just stolen the money from Shohei Ohtani and that's it, right? Now, people are saying, wait a second. Shohei Ohtani had $4.5 million missing and he had no idea? And then also, why were there two stories? Why was it okay for us to talk to the interpreter before and now you're telling us that the interpreter is lying, right? So, all of this stuff is happening right now. Shohei came out yesterday and he said that I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. But there are a couple of things that are going against him. One, the money's going out of his account. And sure, you can believe you don't have, you know, when you make $70 million a year, maybe you don't know where your money's going or whatever. But also, as a sports book, the interpreter probably makes like $500,000 a year. They wouldn't give that guy a credit line for $4.5 million.
Yeah.
They would only give that for an athlete that can cover it up, or a rich person that can cover it up, right? So there's a lot of confusion.
Well, he could have been just using that guy's like Shohei's account, right?
He could have just been using Shohei's account.
Yeah, because that guy is not going to get a loan that big or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that he would go and make up the story to ESPN and like say all this stuff. This is spicy.
It's very spicy.
You thought this was going to make me pick my phone up?
Maybe. I don't know.
I love this kind of stuff.
Now, this is a part where I think you would really get interested, which is the hypocrisy of all of this stuff, right? Because so gambling is illegal in California still. Sports gambling is still, which is the reason why Shohei had to go, or whoever had to go, find an illegal sports book, right?
Yeah.
But sports gambling in the U.S. has been legalized for 40 states.
Yeah.
And there is a shitload of money that sports teams now make from legalized gambling.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you can potentially put these people in jail for all of this stuff, and you're telling us gambling is bad, and gambling is bad. Like, people get really caught up in it or whatever. At the same time, you're making all this money from all these new sports books like FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM and all this other stuff. So it's going to be interesting over the next year or
so. Can I ask you, can I say something? I have a confession to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sports book means.
Sports book is basically just a place where you can play sports bets.
Okay. And
do you know how sports bets work?
Yeah, I'm assuming like any other bet, like there's different things that you could bet on. You could bet on like, you know, how many points somebody's going to get, how many touchdowns someone gets, whatever, like all that kind of stuff. Besides the actual score of the game, it could be a range of things. Like, it's almost like if you get points in fantasy football on different things that players are doing, you can even bet on those types of things, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now over the last couple of years, athletes are talking about how betting has been affecting their play, because they get messages on Twitter all the time from people telling them to kill themselves, and, you know, because they don't hit a bet, because they didn't score enough points, or they scored too many points, or blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think, go ahead, finish your thought, and then I'm going to share my thought.
And then the other thing is, like, athletes are also, could maybe, they, you know, the lower level athletes, the ones who aren't millionaires or whatever, they could also be affected by it. They could find a way to, you know, change the odds for themselves, and then they could affect how they play the games or whatever. So sports betting is like the biggest story in sports probably for this year, because I have to figure all that shit out.
Yeah, because this is that I was thinking that could lead to, you know, a match fixing situation, as we deal with sometimes in cricket and stuff, right? So I was going to say that I am alarmed. I mean, I'm going to say this, but sometimes the automated ads on this podcast are sports betting ads.
Yeah, they are.
I think that I'm alarmed by just in like the last like 5 years, the amount of like online betting and sports betting has happened, like how much it's increased. Because even like, as soon as they legalized online bets and online gambling, I feel like we teetered into a different place. And I think that I'm concerned about like kids, because you only have to be 18, right? Or 21.
Yeah. 18. Yeah, well, it depends on the state.
But you're very young. The frontal lobe, not developed.
Still soft.
Still soft. Like a baby. Okay. Yeah. There's nothing happening up here. Bad decisions are being made. Then you add on top of it the sort of like social media glitz and glam of you can make money in various ways online, right? Whether you're an influencer or whatever. So kids are more and more, and the dire situation of like the job market and how expensive fucking a crate of eggs is, and how real estate is obscene and you cannot buy a house for less than $1 million anymore. Like, there's so many things that are becoming absolutely like unachievable. And then there's these ways that you go on the internet where the internet convinces you that there's ways to like make money that aren't going the right route. Because going the straight and narrow, like go to college, get a job, make money, get a loan, buy a house, that route is, it's not realistic anymore. That American mm-hmm. dream, as far as I'm concerned, is out of reach for almost everybody, right? The ways that you make money now are you go online and you find ways to make money. And I feel like there is a big problem because it's a big lie that they're being sold. Mm-hmm. And then so you add on top of that, like the frontal lobeless kids that are going online thinking that they're going to make money. They're fucking themselves over. And who's making money? These sports booking apps.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, having been like a sports fan my entire life, that betting part of it was never really a consideration for me.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that, you know, you'd hear about NFL bookies and things like that. I knew that that existed, but it was always tied to like organized crime. And I was like, I don't need to watch. I don't need to partake on that front to watch sports. It's exciting enough on its own. Since sports betting has become a thing, I have a FanDuel account, yeah. right? And like the first day that I signed up for it, I put $100 of my money in there. And somehow, you know, my first bet, I netted out. So it was like $500. I had $500 in my account because I won something, right? And then wow. I was like, fuck, this is easy. Of course, I watch sports. I know exactly what it is that I'm doing. Yeah. That is now down to 37 cents in my FanDuel account, right? And now I can add more money. I have more money if I want to add to it. Right? But I'm also like, I don't want to do that. I don't need to enjoy sports on that level. But the dangerous thing is you can add money using a credit card. And that's what these kids are doing. They'll run up, you know, huge credit card bills. And sure, some of them may win out. Some of them, you know, people do get lucky. People do win on betting on stuff. But more likely what's going to happen is you're just going to lose a lot of money and you can ruin your life.
So like I know with like the stock market, right? Like you mm-hmm. have to use a bank account for that. You can't use a credit card. I'm shocked to hear mm-hmm. that the gambling apps allow you to use credit cards.
You can use a credit card to add money to your account, which is
crazy. Insane.
It's insanity. Yeah.
We should stop the internet. I think
yeah.
they're putting a ban on TikTok. Why don't they do a ban on this? That's crazy. Well,
why don't we just wait a little bit? I have a bet that's still active from October. There's this basketball player I really like named Anthony Edwards. I put a $50 bet on him in October to win MVP. It's not going to come through, but if it does, I win $1,500. So.
Fine. Yeah. But that's crazy.
It's bananas. Yeah.
That is bananas. Am I conservative now? I don't know.
No, conservatives love sports apps. I know, sports betting apps.
Of course. They love any way that you can convince people to spend their money. Mm-hmm. Consumerism is, you know, conservatives love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's your other story that you were going to share? Is that it?
No, the NCAA women's basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Are you interested in that?
I am interested. I did see some clips of that one white girl. She's smacking a basketball against her head.
Caitlin Clark?
Caitlin, yep.
Lindsay. So the NCAA tournament's going on right now. You know, one thing I've noticed is the women's tournament is more exciting than the men's tournament in one aspect, which is the men's tournament, all the good players now are one and done. So they go to school for 1 year, so you don't really get to know them.
Yeah.
Or a lot of them are going to like these... they're either going overseas or you can join like these G League type of things where you get paid.
Yeah. Right?
So people aren't going to college for 4 years. The women's game, because they don't tend to leave early because they don't get drafted or whatever, you get to know the player. So there's a lot of storylines that continue on. So yeah, Caitlin Clark is the biggest one. The other big one is LSU.
Yeah.
Do you remember
LSU? How are they doing? I remember that.
They're good. So LSU and Iowa could potentially, if you're going to be watching, watch this weekend.
Okay.
Because they're both going to be playing, I think, on Thursday. And then if they both win, they're going to go head to head against each other on Sunday or Saturday or Sunday or whatever. And that is a storyline that has been going on since last year.
Yeah.
And that storyline has a little bit of everything. It has Caitlin Clark. It has LSU. The LSU team is, a lot of people have opinions on them.
Was online. That LSU has the player, I'm forgetting her name, and
Angel Reese.
Angel Reese, yeah.
A lot of people have Angel Reese opinions. You can guess why.
Yeah. She's a black woman. We talked about this before in the podcast. Okay.
So a lot of people hate LSU for that reason. I mean, they say that LSU has attitude or whatever. And LSU does, you know, when they play or whatever, they are very demonstrative and they do all those things. But
Caitlin Clark slapped a basketball on her head.
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
There's this other lady, this girl who works for, I guess it doesn't technically work because they don't get paid.
Yeah.
Who plays for Stanford. Her name is Her name is Cameron Brink. Uh-huh. She's also very good, right? But she is this tall blonde lady.
Uh-huh.
And her last game, I think she fouled out. And as she was fouling out, she told the ref to go fuck himself or something. Or said, fuck you to the ref, right?
Yeah.
And now people are like, hey, if that was Angel Reese, people would have different opinions about that.
Oh, the think pieces about her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
so all that stuff is very exciting. I will give you one thing to watch out for.
Okay.
Which is Caitlin Clark is the biggest star in women's, and she's the biggest star in college basketball right now.
Uh-huh.
Low key, there's this player for UConn. Her name is Paige Beckers.
Okay.
Paige Beckers was Caitlin Clark in high school. I've known about Paige Beckers for the last 5-6 years.
Okay. Weird, but all right, go on.
Yeah, I just realized that's when she was 16 years old. Makes me a creep. I used to watch YouTube clips of her from Minnesota, actually.
Okay. Oh, Minnesota.
I don't know why it keeps happening, but she's from Minnesota. Anthony Edwards also, who I love, plays for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But anyways, Paige Beckers was injured for almost her entire college career. It's very sad because she was really, really good. Mm. She is back. She is healthy now. And I feel like in the Final Four, it's going to be her versus Caitlin Clark.
Oh.
And you should watch out for that. It's fun.
Okay, I will watch out for it.
No, you won't.
Real, there was some big news, big shakeups in the Bravo space I wanted to tell you about. Okay,
please.
But I think that it's, I want to talk about it only because I think that there is an opportunity here for Bravo and sports to like touch, kiss.
Yeah. It's like you and me having a baby.
What? saying anyway, Bravo announced yesterday, there was an announcement made that Candace Dillard Bassett will not be returning to Real Housewives of Potomac next year.
What did you call me?
Candace, sweet little Candace, my favorite, my favorite housewife, Candace is not going to be returning to Real Housewives of Potomac. She says that she is not saying goodbye, but she's saying maybe see you later.
Oh.
Soon after that, like literally an hour later, not even, maybe 30 minutes later, Robin Dixon also done with Real Housewives. She's quitting her job. That makes me concerned because Juan Dixon is not working. So I don't know who's paying those bills. Does not look sound good for the Dixons. But it was a lot. There was a lot going on. People were, whoa, what's going on? Real Housewives of Miami, which you don't watch, two people from that show are potentially not returning. There's a conversation about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, how somebody is maybe joining the show who was from a previous cast or whatever. I thought, you know, like my husband, this time of the year, he gets very happy. March,
free agency.
Times for him. Free agency and then the draft coming. Oh my God, this guy, he's so excited. So I was like, we need, like, they need to create like a period of time because right now there are no housewives on TV. We are not watching any housewife shows. Potomac is on. Potomac is wrapping up. The reunion is going to be on over the next two episodes probably. But we're getting a period of time where from now to basically June, I think, or maybe end of May, there's no housewives on TV. I think they should use this period to do some sort of a free agent situation. Like, I think there should be a period of time where there's no housewives on TV and there's no filming happening either. And Bravo should say everybody's contracts are up for grabs. And then all of us like tune in to some episodes, some like programming over a weekend, like the draft weekend.
Yeah.
Where you find out like whether or not people are going to be joining the show.
Like the LeBron,
the decision. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Get Andy on the phone. Oh, wait, is he still there?
He is still there. Yeah. By the way, also, there's another TV show coming called The Goat on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And it is it's hosted by the guy. Here, I'm short circuiting. He was a guy, Tosh. Tosh.
Daniel Tosh
is hosting it, and it is a reality show competition of 14 reality TV stars.
Ooh.
Yeah. And somebody was like, why doesn't Bravo make one of these themselves? But it's because Bravo doesn't have money like that to like just give away like to one person. $200,000? No. Andy needs that for his cocaine.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that that's what Bravo should be doing. I think we should have a 6-week period where we don't know what shows are going to be coming. We don't even know what shows are coming back. We don't know who's going to be cast on those shows. Like, I think that because I'm sure that does happen. I'm sure there's a period of time. We all work at corporations. We all know what end of year and budgets looks like. We all know about layoffs. Like, it happens. So I feel like that would be really exciting.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Is there anything like a Housewives Fantasy League?
I think it's like discussed. There's a bracket that's done by a podcast that I don't like because they are problematic. But there's a bracket that gets done every year, which is March Madness, and they do a men's bracket on Housewives of or on Bravo of hottest Bravo guys. And guess what?
I don't love that.
White people always win.
Yeah, I don't love that.
It's really upsetting.
I'm sure that there you could come up with a league or something and award points, go head to head every week, something like that.
Yeah, we tried it a couple of times. There's like a couple of people that put it out there. But you know what the problem is? There's not enough sports people that are also watching Bravo. So that's we true. Need somebody to like put the mechanics of it together.
Yeah.
To then like put it out into the world. Should like we a make scoring an app? System.
Should we? Is that what we should do? Should we quit our jobs?
Can someone help us build an app?
Yeah, exactly. Just because we're brown doesn't mean we know how to code.
I work in IT and I don't know how that works.
Sad. Very sad.
You also work in IT. No idea. Yeah.
None, for 20 plus years. No idea.
I could bold something on WhatsApp, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, how do you bold? It's the two stars, right?
It's asterisks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know the underscore makes it italics?
Ooh.
We could take this offline. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
That's it. Hey, I saw that Bruce is back.
He is back. Did you see him take his with shirt off?
With his titties out?
Yeah.
Somebody said he looked like Tilda Swinton.
He does. He's very ghostly. But he's like 74 years old, man. He's 75 this year.
All right. Yeah, I know. No, I know. But those breasts 23rd. Were breasting. You know what they look like? They look like what Donnie explained to us. Water. Was it balloon boobs? Water balloon boobs?
Water balloon chest.
Yeah. He looked like he had water balloon chest. So congratulations to him. Maybe he Bruce got implants.
Bruce has been very fit since the 70s. He never smoked. He drank. He did drink a lot, or he drank an appropriate amount, but he would always run. So he's always been very fit. Because. Yeah. See, the thing is, Bruce really cares about his fans. And he really cares about the fact that they spent a lot of money for his shows. So the shows are always fantastic, right? And he needs a lot of energy for that. So that's the reason why he's always been in great shape.
Do you think that Bruce makes people feel
Loves
like...
me?
Yeah. The way that people, like Swifties, think like Taylor Swift is their best friend. Bruce has convinced you that you are his best friend?
That is a part of, I do think that's part of the appeal, is that you are a part of this big family, right? I'll tell you my Bruce experience when I went to Giant Stadium.
I've never heard this story before.
It was me and our brother. My brother was like somewhere in the crowd because he decided to show up 2 hours late. It was me and him and 80,000 white people in the thing because they were closing down Giant Stadium.
Yeah,
and I was pretty close to the stage, and in the moment, I felt like Bruce was singing to me the entire time. I feel like we made eye contact at one point, during.
And then Bruce whispered to his security, "Get the guy out of here."
Hey, that guy's got big, heavy breasts.
Look at that guy's calves.
I can't have those calves.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. I'll be back at the end of the week to talk about Bravo.
Oh.
And I think I really like the schedule, guys. I'm just put this out there. I think I like the schedule. I like this early week podcast about pop culture and end of the week podcast about Bravo. We're doing two episodes now. Just two a week. Please. Yeah. I have to build an app.
Yeah.